Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling on you and the whole nation for the greatest census in American history.
An army on the march, but not an army of destruction. It's an American army of construction, 120,000 strong, marching one by one during the month of April to millions of city homes and country farms, calling on you at your door and yours to gather vital information that enables you to know your nation. One half as large as the standing army of the United States. This is the peacetime army of census takers. You can't know your country unless your country knows you.
Hello, everyone. Remember me? I'm the census taker. I'm one of that peacetime army of seekers after the facts. And I'm here again with another program in our series of broadcasts. Today we have with us Mr. John Dawson. Mr. Dawson is the retired farmer you've met on these programs before. I consider him a great help to me in telling you people about the big 1940 census that comes off in April. You see, Mr. Dawson was one of the pioneers among farmers in putting census information to practical use in connection with his own farm. He tells me that 30 or 40 years ago, he used to go to the library and look up his county and his state in the census books. Then he'd find out exactly how many acres of each type of crop were being produced in his home county and in his home state. He's a great booster for the census. And since he's seen them come and go 6 times, I think his opinion is worth something. Now, what's been on your mind since I last talked to you, Mr. Dawson?
Well, Mr. Census Taker, I've seen 2 or 3 pieces in the papers saying this coming United States Census is going to ask too many questions about people's private affairs. Doesn't talk like that worry you people some?
Not a bit, Mr. Dawson. There's some of that kind of talk every time. The reason we don't worry is that it isn't true. You've been through 6 of these censuses. You said so yourself. You know, each new one isn't much different from the one before.
Sure, I know that, but this housing census, that's 15 or 20 new questions, isn't it?
Yes. Most of the questions never have been asked before. But the funny part is that the 2 or 3 questions causing the most comment are really old questions.
Well, which ones do you mean?
Well, the one we'll ask about the size of the mortgage on your home, if you own it, and the one about how much rent you pay, if you're a renter. That question about the mortgage was put on the census list way back in 1890 when Benjamin Harrison was president. It was asked again in 1920, and there wasn't any fuss raised either time. The question about how much rent you pay was asked in 1930 during the days of President Hoover. Nobody objected to it.
Well, you ought to tell people things like that. They forget about them between times, or maybe they never knew about them. I didn't.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Dawson. What would you say if a census man came to you this year and asked you to tell him the value of everything you own? First, all the real estate, and then everything else, your complete estate.
Well, that's one I hadn't heard of yet.
Oh, we're not going to ask you any such question, but now just suppose we did.
Well, as much as I favor the census, I figure I think that was going too far.
Well, now, don't worry, we're not going to do it. But you'll probably be surprised to know that the question was asked by the census in 1850 under President Zachary Taylor, and again in 1860 under President Buchanan, and in 1870 under President Grant. And there wasn't any particular fuss made about it, and nobody was hurt by it.
Well, it just adds up to the same old story. This census business started way back with the Constitution, and it goes along just about the same.
That's right, Mr. Dawson. Except that a few new questions are added each time to meet new problems.
Say, young man, if people start complaining about there being too many census questions, why don't you tell them my story about Dan'l Boone?
Well, I would if I knew it.
Well, here's the idea. If Dan'l Boone was living today, he'd be so tarnation mad at city governments and state governments and Uncle Sam that he'd probably have apoplexy. just think what they'd do to poor old Dan'l.
What would they do to him?
Why, man, they'd make him get a non-resident hunting license in every state he passed through. He'd have to learn what game was in season and out in every county he went through, and the game wardens would catch him poaching on game preserves. Then they'd probably catch him with bass out of season or some other fish smaller than the law allows. Then the forest rangers would grab him for building fires in the woods. That'd be just the beginning. They'd run old Dan'l Boone plumb crazy. Yes, sir. And the funny part about it is, every one of those laws that would be galling on on Dan'l Boone is a good law, and one we all take as a matter of course. That's what I try to tell people. Life is so much more complicated nowadays that we all have to pull together for the good.
Pardon me. There's a lady here wants to see Mr. Dawson.
Yeah? Oh, hello, Mary. Say, come on in. Come on, Mr. Census Taker. This is my daughter, Mrs. Fred Wolf. Mary, meet the census taker.
How do you do, Mr. Census Taker?
How do you do, Mrs. Wolf?
He'll be around to the farm in April to see you and Fred. We've been having some mighty interesting discussions, and I wanted you to come over so you could find out about the farm census.
Well, my father always has been sort of a crank about the census. He always studied your figures on the acreage and the various crops in the county and in the state. He studied the livestock figures, too.
Yes, and you notice your old pappy retired, too. I don't say the census did it, but as the racehorse said about the bumblebee, it helped.
Oh,
Mrs. Wolf, do you know why we take a farm census?
Well, I think so. Partly, anyway. I know that census figures are the basis for making crop allotments, both in acreage and production. I know the Department of Agriculture plans its programs on the census, and that Congress uses the figures in passing farm laws.
Well, listen to that. That's my daughter talking.
Father.
Well, that's fine, Mrs. Wolf. Have you seen the list of questions we're going to ask you this year?
No, but a neighbor of mine has, and she says it's pretty hard. I've been sort of worried, thinking maybe the census man would call just about the time my husband was out on the back 40, about a mile from the house, and I'd have to try to answer all those questions.
Now, don't let her give you that baby talk, my friend. Fact is, she knows more about Fred's records than he knows himself. She keeps most of them because when he comes in at night, he's usually tired, and sometimes he's very busy playing cribbage with me.
Yes, Miss Wolf, a great many farmers' wives keep the records, and it's a great help to us because they usually know the size of the poultry flock and the egg production. You might be surprised to know that those questions stump a lot of the men.
It's true that I just about keep the books on our farm, and so do a good many of my friends. But I imagine most of them wouldn't like to tell a stranger about the family affairs without talking to their husbands first.
Well, that's what we want them to do, Mrs. Wolf. And that's why we're having these talks on the radio and asking the papers and magazines to publish articles about the census.
Will the census man want to do more than just ask about the questions? I mean, will he want to see the things we're talking about?
Well, of course, he's a very busy man. The faster he can cover his territory, the faster the census bureau can get the figures out, so that farmers and businessmen can use them. But we encourage him to take a look around wherever he can, because he might see something that would bring out more complete information.
Well, how do you mean? He has the questions on the form, doesn't he?
Yes. Well, now, here's an example. He might notice a herd of cattle over in the field and notice you didn't report them, and he'd ask about those cattle. You might say, "Oh, those don't belong to us. We're just pasturing them for Bill Smith." And then he would explain that we're taking livestock according to the place where they're located instead of according to who owns them. That's the sort of thing that keeping his eyes open sometimes straightens out.
Well, I've heard that you census men get more of your answers from women than you do from men. Is that true?
I should say it is. In the cities and towns, about 3/4 of the people who give us the answers are the women of the house. On the farms, the proportion isn't so large because a good many of the men are working near the house. But even on farms, we get more of our reports from the women than from the men. We simply couldn't take a census without the help of the women folks.
Oh, easy there. Don't give them a swell head.
No, I don't mean to do that, but it's a fact. The questions nowadays are complicated enough, though heaven knows we try to keep them down, especially the farm questions.
I've often wondered how you do decide what questions to ask.
Well, now, let's take the farm census. It's about the same as the process on population. The census people call a series of meetings in Washington and invite representatives of all the main groups that are interested.
You mean government people?
I mean everybody, in the government and out, but mainly out. The Farm Bureau and the Grange and the Farmers Union and the implement people and the food processors and the educators, everybody. Their job is just to cut down the number of questions, because we always have thousands that people want us to ask. Most of these get weeded out because they're not basically important to enough people.
What sort of questions do you mean?
Well, here's a sample. The tire people wanted us to ask the number of vehicles with wheels on each farm, the size of the wheels, and the percentage that have rubber tires.
Well, now, that's a pretty good question. Of course, those people want to sell rubber tires. But rubber tires are a good thing. They speed up the work because machinery can run faster on rubber without shaking itself to pieces. And they save the roads.
I know that, Mr. Dawson. Most of the questions the census has to throw out would help somebody. The cosmetics people wanted us to count the number of blondes, brunettes, and redheads. And for them, it was a good idea. But we have to think of the people who have to answer and hold our questions down to a few of the most important ones.
Well, getting back to my own answers, you say farmers and their wives ought to talk the census over and be ready. What can we talk over?
Well, the best thing to do is to get a sample of the farm schedule or questionnaire. A great many people are passing them out for us. County agents and vocational teachers and bankers, volunteer crop reporters and postmasters. Quite a few county officials have them and county superintendents of schools. If you can't get a sample at home, you can write to the Census Bureau at Washington for it. But be sure to ask for a farm schedule, or the Census Bureau might send you the wrong one.
Say, now, that sets me to wondering. Do many people take the trouble to do that?
I should say they do. We've mailed out over 1 million samples of the farm schedule already, and we'll probably mail twice as many by April 1st.
Well, praises be. Maybe the farmers are waking up to the value of this thing. I've been knowing it for about 40 years.
Oh, but, Papa, you're a very exceptional man.
Well, that's no joke, Mrs. Wolf, as far as the census is concerned. He's a man ahead of his time. And now, Mr. Man ahead of your time, what's the slogan we thought up about the census that everybody ought to remember?
You can't know your country unless your country knows you.
And that's a good note on which to end our third discussion. We'll be back with you next week for some more talk about censuses, past and present. We'll take up the case of the lady up in New York State who says she's not going to answer the census man. See you next week, or if I miss you then, I'll be ringing your doorbell in April. Goodbye until then.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling on you and the whole nation for the greatest census in American history. Uncle Sam Calling was produced by the United States Office of Education in collaboration with the United States Bureau of the Census, Department of Commerce. Your station announcer will tell you when you will hear the next broadcast of Uncle Sam Calling.
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 Uncle Sam calling on you and the whole nation for the greatest census in American history.
An army on the march. But not an army of destruction. It's an American army of construction. 120,000 strong, marching one by one during the month of April to millions of city homes and country farms. Calling on you at your door, and yours, to gather vital information that enables you to know your nation. One half as large as the standing army of the United States, this is the peacetime army of census takers. You can't know your country unless your country knows you.
Hello, everybody. Remember me? I'm the census taker. I'm here again with another program in our series of broadcasts entitled Uncle Sam Calling. A story of the 1940 census. Today we have with us two people whom you've met on these programs before. The first is Mrs. Virginia Boswell, a young homemaker, who has been asking me the sort of questions she believes the women of America would like to ask. Then over here is Mr. John Dawson, a retired farmer. Mr. Dawson has used census facts for a long time in connection with his farming operations, and I may as well admit that he's mighty helpful to me on these programs. Finally, we have a visitor today who is with us for the first time. He is Mr. Robert James. Mr. James, what is your occupation?
I'm a businessman, furniture business.
Well, Mr. James, have you had occasion to learn much about the census?
I'm afraid I haven't, Mr. Census Taker. I probably should have, but I'm so busy keeping up with my own business that I don't have time for outside things.
But the census isn't an outside thing.
What do you mean?
Well, Mr. James, you study the people in your trade territory, don't you?
Well,
I mean, do you want to know the number of people and what age they are and what line of work they're in and how many are foreign-born and that sort of thing?
Oh, yes. It makes a lot of difference in my sales program.
Well, where do you get that information?
Well, I get it from the Retail Merchants Association, the furniture trade magazines, and the Chamber of Commerce.
And then where do they get it?
Well, they... I don't exactly know. They send the members lots of bulletins and articles and, well, the figures are in them.
Mr. James, they get them from the census. And from the 1940 census, they'll get you more information. They'll be able to give you figures on the buying power of people and, well, from the housing census, a great deal of information about how the various groups of people live and what sorts of merchandise they're prospects for. And now, folks, what shall we take up today?
Mr. Census Taker, I read in the paper about a woman up in New York State who says she just will not spend 2 hours answering foolish questions in the 1940 census.
Yeah, and I read somewhere, too, that a lot of this year's questions are too darn personal.
Say, I read that, too. It said it was an invasion of a person's privacy to ask him how much of a mortgage there is on his home and how much salary he got last year. Now, I think...
Hold on. One at a time. I'll take you all on, but let's have order. Now, Mrs. Boswell?
Well, I just remarked that some woman up in New York State said she would not waste 2 hours of her time answering a lot of foolish questions in the census. I wondered what you people were going to do about it.
Well, the law says we can take her to court and the judge will fine her $100 or put her in jail for 60 days or both. That's the law. But actually, we probably will not do anything about it.
What's that? Won't do anything? Well, why not?
Because the census takers never have had to put anybody in jail for refusing to answer in 150 years. Why, Mr. Dawson, Congress made the very first census compulsory way back in 1790. It's been that way ever since. I'll admit that every 10 years you hear a little complaining, but you never actually heard of a person who wouldn't answer a census taker, did you?
No, I never did, but suppose she does refuse.
Well, Mrs. Boswell, I'll answer you this way. Now and then, a few people crop up in this country who don't like the way we do things in the United States. It's a free country, and they have a right to talk about it all they like. But when they come to doing things about it, that's where Congress comes in. A good many Congresses have agreed that the census is important to most of the people. Not one of them ever disagreed. I think that when our people get through explaining it to this lady, she'll go along. They always have, you know.
Well, what about these personal questions you're going to ask? Aren't you going to ask how big a mortgage we have on our home?
Yes, Mr. James, we are.
Well, isn't that what this woman is complaining about? I mean about the government prying deeper and deeper every year into people's private business.
Well, heavens alive, Mrs. Boswell. Asking people about the mortgage is nothing new. The Census Bureau asked your father about his mortgage as far back as 1890 when Benjamin Harrison was president. And it asked the question again in 1920. People didn't kick up a fuss either time.
You know, I keep telling my boy there's not much that hasn't been done before. I've seen 6 of these decennial censuses, you know. They really don't change much. They run about the same.
That's right, Mr. Dawson. And the Census Bureau would be a lot happier if they didn't change at all. You see, the census experts are statisticians, and they'd like it very much if every question was exactly alike every time, because that way they always could compare all their figures in 1940 with those in 1930, and even those in 1890, to see exactly what the changes have been.
Then why don't they do it that way and avoid all this argument?
Wait a minute. I know the answer to that one. Mrs. Boswell, they're going to ask several questions about unemployment this year. They didn't ask those questions before, well, at least not in the same way, because the problem wasn't so acute then.
Mr. Dawson, go to the head of the class.
Well, Mr. Sensen...
Go ahead, Mr. James.
Well, I can see we need to know how many people are out of work and how many are working, and at what kind of work. But I'm darned if I see why you ask how much a person makes in wages or salary.
Well, why do you object to telling?
Well, it's my business.
You tell the income tax people?
Well, that's different. I write it down myself and send it in. And I don't have to tell it to somebody that, well, that lives in my town.
Ah, now we're getting down to cases, Mr. James. You don't want to tell how much you make. Well, if you make over $5,000 a year,
You don't have to.
What's that?
I said that if you make over $5,000 a year, we are not interested. All you have to answer is over $5,000.
Well, hallelujah. Say, why doesn't somebody tell me these things?
That's what I'm doing.
But why are you interested in the little fellow and not the big fellow?
All right, Mr. Dawson, here. A very important part of the country's prosperity depends on people's ability to buy things and use them up. I mean, food and clothes and furniture and radios. What the economists call consumer's goods, right?
Right.
And people buy most of this sort of thing with the first $5,000 of their income. So the fellows in business and industry who want figures on the retail buying power of the country, or some particular state or city, only want figures on $5,000 or less. That's the range on which they base their manufacturing and marketing plans. So the question about salary is really an important question to American business. Don't you agree?
Well, I've agreed all along. I just wanted you to explain it.
Well, how about you, Mr. James?
Oh, certainly. Yes, we certainly need facts to encourage business to put on full speed ahead.
And it's the same way with the new questions about housing. Most of the people who think they don't like the housing census simply don't know what it means.
Well, what does it mean, except a lot more questions to answer?
Hold on. Let me tell him. Huh?
Go after him, Mr. Dawson.
Did you ever hear the census slogan, Mr. James?
Not that I recall.
Well, here it is. You can't know your country unless your country knows you. Now, Mr. James, you're a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
You know our most important prosperous times in this country have all been built around a tremendous expansion in one big industry. 50 years ago, it was railroads. 20 years ago, it was the automobile. Am I right?
You certainly are.
Now, Mr. James, what one big industry does everybody agree is most likely to bring better times right now if it can get going strong?
Well, that's easy. The construction industry.
Yes, but a particular section of it. Home building. You with me on that?
Yes, indeed.
All right, then I've got you.
Why, have you?
Well, you haven't got a big renewal of home building, have you?
Well,
I mean, a really big one?
No, but I still don't see...
Why haven't you? I'll tell you why. Because all the upsets of the past 10 years, the industry is afraid. It isn't sure of its ground. It needs a complete picture of housing in this country, of what kind of homes people live in, whether they rent or own them, how much they cost, how old they are, if they need repairs, and what kind of plumbing and heating and electricity and water supply they have. And that's just what this housing census will find out.
You still haven't explained why they're asking about the mortgage.
Why, hello, Mrs. Boswell. Welcome back. This argument got so hot, we almost forgot about you. Is this a private fight, Mr. Dawson, or can I get back in?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I didn't mean to make a speech.
Well, Mrs. Boswell, you can tell the construction industry all about what kind of homes people live in, and you still haven't told them the whole story until... Yes, Mr. James?
I get it now. Until you've told about the mortgages, that is, how long the owners still have to keep on making payments before the home is paid out.
Young man, we got him won over.
Mr. Census Taker, you said something last week that I want to hear more about. You told that farmer's wife...
My daughter, you mean.
Yes. You told Mr. Dawson's daughter that women do most of the reporting to the census takers.
They certainly do. And on the whole, I think they do a better job than their husbands would.
Oh, that's pretty hard to believe.
Oh, of course, they don't know as much about mortgages and their husband's salary and occupation. But they know a great deal more about the ages and education of the children. And they certainly will know more about the housing questions.
How about when it comes to giving their own ages?
Well, that's a good old joke, but it's behind the times now. It's largely a relic of when women were fluffy and helpless. Now they're people. They go out and do things like the men. And they know giving their right age is important in many things, like getting insurance or inheriting money or qualifying for pensions.
I can understand that about modern women in the big cities, but it doesn't apply to women in the country, does it?
Oh, you better not let my daughter hear you say that. Why, say, she keeps books for her husband, and she got out and made speeches for the county road bond issue, so as to have better roads for the school bus and the doctor and the traveling library and Fred's trucks.
Oh, that's another thing the farm census will bring out. The kind of road that serves each farm.
Oh, I didn't mean any unkindness to farmers' wives.
Sure, Mrs. Boswell, I know that. But you ought to see what's happening on the farms. Lots of women actually run the business in poultry and eggs and milk and butter. Why, part of that's because they're up on home economics and want good diets for the children. That's the reason why they insist on home gardens for plenty of fresh vegetables. And they know more about the young animals, too. such as calves and colts and pigs, because they just naturally take an interest in them. And there are census questions about all those things.
Mr. Dawson, I am ashamed. I apologize.
Oh, forget it. I don't suppose Mary would know much more about running an antique shop either. Every cobbler to his last, isn't that what they say?
Yes. And every census taker, 120,000 of them, will be asking his questions on the 1st of April. So be ready for him. This ends the fourth discussion. Thank you, Mrs. Boswell, Mr. James, and Mr. Dawson. We'll be with you again next week. Your local announcer will tell you when. Goodbye. See you then. And remember, you can't know your country unless your country knows you.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling.
Uncle Sam calling on you and the whole nation for the greatest census in American history. Uncle Sam Calling was produced by the United States Office of Education in collaboration with the United States Bureau of the Census, Department of Commerce. Your station announcer will tell you when you will hear the next broadcast of Uncle Sam Calling.